Welcome to the British TV Watchlist, the podcast that covers Brit shows worth the binge from an American point of view. We've got insight and analysis into actors, characters, storylines, and entire series. If it's streaming on the telly, we've got thoughts. So pop the kettle on, settle in, and let's get started with another episode of the British TV Watchlist.
Aloha from Hawaii, the home of mochi ice cream, Duke Kahanamoku, and breathtaking Kaena Point. I'm Michael T. Today on the British TV Watchlist, we're taking a close look at The Suspicions of Mr. Witcher. If you're streaming it on Amazon Prime, you'll see how this series brings Detective Inspector Jonathan Jack Witcher's true story to life, and why a man with the right answer could still find himself defeated by the system. Here's our roadmap for the next several minutes. We'll start with Paddy Considine, how his understated performance makes Witcher feel real. Then we'll rewind to 1860 and the famous Road Hill House murder in rural Wiltshire, where Witcher's detective methods hit a wall. And finally, we'll follow Witcher into his years as a private investigator and explore the legacy he left for every crime drama that followed. So settle in, whether you're commuting, cooking, or just relaxing. Let's dive in. You might know Paddy Considine from roles like the haunted soldier in Dead Man's Shoes or the fragile King Viserys in House of the Dragon. There's always something simmering beneath his quiet exterior. And in Mr. Witcher, he channels that energy perfectly. Considine started out studying photography. Think about that for a second. He learned to frame images, capture mood, and tell stories through a lens. That background shows up in every shot. Witcher often appears half in shadow, half in lamplight, literally split between light and dark. It's a visual cue for his split life, the official detective everyone sees, and the private man wrestling with doubt. The key word seems to be subtle. Considine gives us small, subtle moments. A long look at a bloodstain, a flicker of frustration when evidence disappears, a barely audible sigh when he realizes the system has failed him again. These tiny details build up, and by the end of an episode, you feel every crease in his mind. Ever felt uneasy when someone says less but means more? That's Considine's specialty. He picks characters who are morally tangled, people you can't sum up in a single sentence. Witcher is one of those. He's methodical, serious, perhaps a bit lonely, but he's also fiercely honest. When the world wants simple answers, he demands complexity, and that tension makes his story unforgettable. Before we see Witcher in action, imagine London in the 1800s. Horse-drawn carriages clatter on cobblestones, gas lamps flicker, and crime scenes get handled by local constables who did their best with little training. There was no central force, no detective unit, just patchwork law enforcement that reacted after the fact. That all changed in 1829 when Sir Robert Peel set up the Metropolitan Police, nicknamed Bobbies after him. Their job was simple: patrol the streets and keep order. They weren't detectives. If a crime happened, you called the parish watchman or you hired a private agent if you could afford one. Fast forward to 1842. Scotland Yard realized that prevention alone wasn't enough. They created a small detective branch of 8 plainclothes officers, men chosen for sharp eyes, patience, and nerves of steel. Jonathan Jack Witcher was already a sergeant in his late 20s when he joined that team. He stood 5'8" with a thoughtful gaze. Dickens wondered if he was, quote, engaged in deep arithmetical calculations. His nicknames, Prince of Detectives and Man of Mystery, hint at the respect he earned quickly. Let me ask you a quick question. How cozy and comfy is your bedroom and bath right now? If you're not a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, Maybe it's time to upgrade the cozy level in your house. Let me introduce you to CozyEarth.com. Bedding, bath, they even have clothing for the entire family, pajamas and things like that, some accessories. They do cozy like nobody else. We've partnered with CozyEarth.com. We've got a promo code that'll give you 41% off. It's the best discount you're going to get at CozyEarth.com. Check it out, BTVW1. Apply that promo code, get 41% off at CozyEarth.com. Picture this. It's June 28, 1851. A pair of ex-convicts, John Tyler and William Cotty, set their sights on the London and Westminster Bank in St. James's Square. They pick a bench across the street, watching all the comings and goings for 6 weeks. Witcher and his partner, Inspector Lund, go undercover. Every single day, they watch Tyler and Cotty return to that bench, calm, patient, determined. Finally, when the robbers bolt from the bank with burlap sacks, Witcher's men move in. It's a textbook stakeout. Arrests happen in broad daylight. The Times criticized the Yard for letting the crime unfold instead of stopping it sooner. But to modern ears, that patience is exactly what detective work demands. Hold back, observe, wait for the moment. That operation put Witcher on the map. In 1854, a valet, or valet, stole 10 paintings, including a Da Vinci Virgin and Child, from the country home of the Earl of Suffolk near Malmesbury. We're talking about art worth the equivalent of hundreds of thousands of dollars today. Again, Witcher's approach was simple. Trace every clue, no matter how small. He questioned servants, followed rumors of a secret sale, and finally found the paintings hidden under Blackfriars Bridge. No dramatic chase, just dogged persistence. Now we come to the case most people associate with Witcher, and the story behind the suspicions of Mr. Witcher, the murder at Road Hill House. It's June 29, 1860, in Road, a quiet village in Wiltshire. 3-year-old Francis Saville Kent has been murdered. His body is found in the garden privy, or outhouse, throat cut, among horrific injuries. When Witcher arrives, he focuses on one clue, a heavily blood-stained nightgown belonging to Francis's 16-year-old half-sister, Constance Kent. He reasons she must have hidden it there, panicked, then came back later to dispose of it. That is real forensic logic, linking the crime to a single fabric of evidence. But here's where the system fails him. Local constables were told to guard that nightgown, but they locked it up in a kitchen and then forgot about it. It vanishes. Superintendent Foley worried about blame and keeps that loss secret. By the time Witcher learns of it, the key piece of evidence is gone. Newspapers howl. His reputation takes a beating. The Times writes, quote, "He had the truth, but no evidence to hold it." Constance Kent wouldn't confess until April 1865, 5 years later. By then, Witcher had gone back to London, his name tarnished. But listen, that nightgown clue, those household interviews, the timeline he built, sound familiar? Jack Witcher was a pioneer of the modern detective procedural. After battling ill health, Witcher retired from the Met in March 1864. But retirement didn't mean giving up his skills. In early 1867, he set up shop as one of England's first high-profile private detectives. He took on the Tichborne Claimant case, the trial that gripped Victorian society. Arthur Orton claimed to be the missing heir to the Tichborne barony. Witcher was hired to dig into Orton's past. He traced Orton's steps through Wapping, cross-checked witness statements, and exposed inconsistencies that would unravel the claimant's story. Again, there were no lab tests, just careful interviews and document checks. His persistence helped reveal the fraud and save the crown from a huge embarrassment. On June 29, 1881, exactly 21 years after arriving at Road Hill House, Jack Witcher died at home on Lavender Hill. He left an estate equivalent to around £180,000 or $240,000 today. His career ended under a cloud, but history would eventually clear his name. Today, Witcher gets credit as a pioneer. He showed that detective work needed careful observation over brute force, interviews and informants over intimidation, and psychological insight over simple evidence. If you binge a modern crime drama, you'll see fingerprints of Witcher everywhere. Those quiet stakeouts, the patient unpicking of lies, the detective who watches a suspect's body language rather than relying on explosive confessions. When you hear a character ask, "Did you notice the blood on her glove?" That is Witcher's legacy. The Suspicions of Mr. Witcher isn't just a stylish period drama. It's a window into a moment when detective work became a profession. It's the story of a man who trusted logic before the world was ready for it. And it's a reminder that sometimes being right isn't enough. You need evidence you can hold. If you've watched the series, I'd like to hear from you. Which scene sent a chill down your spine? Did you find yourself rooting for Witcher all the way, even when the newspapers turned against him? Drop your thoughts in the comments, leave a review, and share this episode with fellow crime drama fans. A shout out to listeners in Los Angeles, California, Quezon City, Manila in the Philippines, Linwood, Washington, and everywhere in between. Thanks for joining me on the British TV Watch List. Until next time, cheers!
The British TV Watch List is written and produced by Michael T. in Honolulu, Hawaii. Speculation and opinion powered by caffeine and curiosity. For more clever takes and cold cases, remember to subscribe, like, and share. Keep the mystery and the moxie rolling. All rights reserved. Copyright 2025 Michael T. Media.